It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
My fellow Americans, on Tuesday, Syrian dictator Bashar al-Assad launched a horrible chemical weapons attack on innocent civilians. Using a deadly nerve agent, Assad choked out the lives of helpless men, women, and children. It was a slow and brutal death for so many. Even beautiful babies were cruelly murdered in this very barbaric attack. No child of God should ever suffer such horror. Tonight I ordered a targeted military strike on the airfield in Syria from where the chemical attack was launched. It is in this vital national security interest of the United States to prevent and deter the spread and use of deadly chemical weapons. Tonight I call on all civilized nations to join us in seeking to end the slaughter and bloodshed in Syria, and also to end terrorism of all kinds and all types. We ask for God's wisdom as we face the challenge of our very troubled world. We pray for the lives of the wounded and for the souls of those who have passed. And we hope that as long as America stands for justice, then peace and harmony will, in the end, prevail. Good night, and God bless America and the entire world.
Okay, that was President Donald Trump, and it all happened probably after many of you went to bed last night. There was an attack. Some 70 Tomahawk missiles were sent to an airbase in Syria, the airbase where the planes took off with this, we think, sarin gas that bombed the hospital that killed, I don't know how many people, but women and children. There were pictures of it, and so remember that Barack Obama had established a so-called red line about using chemical weapons. It is illegal internationally to use chemical weapons for obvious reasons. And so no one has been doing anything to push back on this in Syria. And, of course, Barack Obama ignored his red lines. And now President Trump is determined to show a strong response, which he did last night. Interestingly, they warned the Russians about this attack. And they made sure that they did not attack or hit any of the Russians that were who were located within this particular base. So it was a very strategic strike. And it was, of course, to send a message that it is not acceptable to use chemical weapons. I have to say, this is a very complex issue. And I am not prepared this morning to declare an absolute point of view. There are just things going around my head that I'm going to say to you. And as I talk with people that I know, today and kind of think people have more information, more firsthand knowledge than I do, I will take a position. I would say that thank God for Donald Trump to have such compassion. When he saw pictures of those children, and you can hear his heart. When people talk about what a monster he is, the left who hates him so much, you know that that's not true. And I think many people who supported him in the election recognized that he actually is quite tender. When he talked about the sanctity of life and abortion, he was he had a lot of passion about that in the debates. It's true that his understanding of issues doesn't go down deep. He's a businessman. His understanding of business goes down deep, but not necessarily on these issues that the world has been dealing with for a long time because he hasn't dealt with them. And so he's doing what he thinks is right in this moment. So I have to say that a complication here is this. Bashar al-Assad is one of our, he's not an ally. He is a dictator who's done some terrible things. But he has been, in the sense that he has been one of our strongest allies, just in, I'm using the term very loosely, not on paper, against al-Qaeda and the Islamic State. He has been, for Christians in Syria, you might recall that a few years ago I had a Syrian nun come into the studio. I remember we had a spiral staircase that led to the studio, and she had a long robe on. And I remember, and she was older, she was in her 70s, and I said, are you okay? Can you make it up here safely? And she laughed at me because she lived in the mountains of Syria, and she was very fleet-footed and very agile. So she hopped right up that little tiny winding staircase. But her point in the conversation, one of the points, was that Bashar al-Assad had actually been a defender of Christians in Syria. He had at least left them alone and let them practice their faith. And when the attacks started coming to Bashar al-Assad and he began to become under attack by Barack Obama and others, you know, demanding his release, he lost a little bit of his power, and it was the Islamists who were slaughtering Christians. And so that's part of this. And then I read that this a hospital that Bashar al-Assad attacked was a hospital used by al-Qaeda. And I noticed last night, these are just my observations. I'm telling you, I've not talked to my national security friends on this, and I'm not the expert. I am an expert probably more than the average citizen because of the people I know. But the thing also that mulls around in my mind is that Bashar al-Assad has been fighting the Islam, I don't know what to call it, says Sharia-compliant Muslims who are violent and want to impose Sharia law and want to kill Christians. And it's the same strain we recognize by all kinds of names. He's been fighting them. This hospital that was attacked by us, or was attacked by Bashar al-Assad with the sarin gas, was an al-Qaeda hospital. And I noticed in the videos, did you notice how detailed they were and how they focus on the kids? Do we not know how they, the radical Islamists, the Sharia-compliant Islamists, use their children? They don't value their life. I saw recently a picture of a little baby strapped with explosive devices. You know, they have they don't have the same regard for life that we have. And I'm talking now about the Islamists. I don't know how Bashar al-Assad feels about life. Obviously not the same way we do either. There are varying degrees of this. The attack was in an al-Qaeda hospital. And we know how al-Qaeda feels about their children and how they use them and how they use these things as PR measures. So I also remember that there was a chemical attack in Syria. What, a year ago, 2 years ago? I think it must have been 2 years ago. That's when Barack Obama was still president, and there was much said about that. There were a lot of videos taken of these men who allegedly had been attacked by this gas, and then we found out later from that it was sort of it was something that they did to themselves in order to gain sympathy and support. And so I say all of this to say to you that this is a very confusing situation that I'm not prepared to declare anything on because I can't. I also know that John McCain has been all over the Syrian rebels. The Syrian rebels, we got to arm the Syrian rebels. Well, the Syrian rebels turned out to be, according to you, this is, stay with me here, Lieutenant Michael Flynn understood that the so-called Syrian rebels were actually the birth of ISIS. They were not good guys. And thanks to John McCain, and remember he had a young girl advisor that actually made fun of on the air. She sounded like a valley girl, and she was the expert on the Syrian rebels. She had lived with them for a while, and she was she went on television, and then she was taken off because she was not credible. And that was John McCain's chief advisor on the so-called Syrian rebels. And it was over that issue that John McCain began to hate General Michael Flynn. And I have to tell you that I think that's part of the reason why Michael Flynn was in the crosshairs, because he understood who the radical Islamists were. He understood the danger of the Muslim Brotherhood. And there is a whole strain on the other side, and I've told you that the White House is split. John McCain said, just a few months ago, that they were going to have to work around Donald Trump and these, I'm not sure what words he used, but the Sebastian Gorkas and the Steve Bannons in the White House, and work through General McMaster, who was the replacement for General Flynn. General McMaster, along with the other general, MacDoug Mattis, are on the wrong side of this issue, from my perspective. They are very soft on the Muslim Brotherhood. They would say that the Muslim Brotherhood is, you know, it's split. Some are bad, some are good. You know, they do some good things. They need to be our partners. And many of us absolutely reject that. We know about the explanatory memorandum where they spell out how they intend to destroy us from within. So we don't think there's any wiggle room there. So there is this huge divide. So now we know that Flynn is gone. McMaster is in. General Mattis seems to be rising to prominence. Steve Bannon was allegedly taken out of the National Security Committee just yesterday, it was reported. So I don't know who Donald Trump's advisors, I know who they are. And so I might find myself wondering, is this like a perfect time to then sort of do the bidding, do the same thing that Barack Obama was doing, go after Bashar al-Assad, which in fact in its net result will be to help, it could be to help the Sharia compliant radical Islamists within Syria. Look, I'm giving you a lot of information. I don't know yet. I know that John McCain's thrilled about this. He's very happy that there's the attack. We wouldn't want anyone to use chemical weapons anywhere. That needs to be internationally banned. Maybe on that level alone, it's a good thing that our President Trump drew a line in the sand on that. Maybe that we can all agree on. But I don't think it's clear at all that Bashar al-Assad would be less favorable than some of the other forces that might take over in Syria. We have seen that we have disrupted the order. That so-called Arab Spring was a disaster. We disrupted the order, the very tenuous order in the Middle East, and had other players come into power in Egypt and other countries that were much worse than the established dictators who were already there and on some level working with us. So it is the most complex of situations. I don't think we will ever win over Al-Qaeda, the Muslim Brotherhood, because they don't want to be won over. They hate us. We are their enemy. They want to conquer the entire world and make it all an Islamic state. They feel that is their destiny. And so that's something that has to kind of form our opinions on how we fight these wars. We can't go in and teach them how to, you know, have democracy. It's just not possible. We are fighting an ideology that's been in place since 700 AD that is an opponent, really, of the Christian faith. It's a counterfeit of the God that we serve, and it will always be at enmity with us. That doesn't mean that all Muslims are, but down in their hearts, if they embrace what the Sharia and the doctrine found in the Quran teaches, we cannot really ever trust. We can't ever really trust them. And so that's the way I feel about that. And of course, as this is happening, the president is going to meeting with the Chinese premier in Mar-a-Lago in Florida today. That's a really interesting story. There's the filibuster, which is no more. And so Neil Gorsuch will be nominated to be the Supreme Court Justice by the end of tonight. That's going to happen. And a whole lot more. But you know what? It's Friday. We have not talked in so long. So let's talk. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We can talk about any of this stuff, anything you want to talk about. Just think of something interesting, make your comments succinct, and let's have a great conversation. 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Here for your encouragement and your walk with God. This is David Wolin with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. The Sermon on the Mount is probably the most famous section of Jesus' teaching in the Bible. The topics of the sermon range widely, but right in the middle, Jesus talks about two kinds of secrets that are good for your soul. The first has to do with giving to the needy, and the second has to do with praying. Jesus says, don't pray like the hypocrites, who pray loudly to show off in front of other people. Instead, Jesus says, when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. You see, with Jesus, outward appearances don't count. He sees the heart. Just 30 seconds and a smartphone, that's all you need to sign up for Anchor Devotional delivered to your home in print every month. Visit getanchor.com.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy, and I love to lead people to Jesus Christ as a layman outside the walls of the church. Our churches are full of overachieving Christians lacking joy in their lives. I know, because I was there giving generously of my time and resources and loving on my pastor without having that bounce in my step. I knew something was missing, but had no idea what it was until I met Herb Ellingwood. In the space of an hour with a man I didn't know and never saw again, my life was radically and forever changed. God brought Herb into my life to ignite my life with his razor focus on this one thought. God's called all of us to seek and save the lost, that none should be lost. That's why God sent his son to this earth. And when God's purpose for dying becomes your purpose for living, your joy will be full. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of the church by moving every person you're with today and every day closer to Jesus. And if you want to know how to do that, go to ROTW.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Peter Koh, and I'm a business major, and this is my junior year at the college. What I love about the athletics here at Truett McConnell University is the coaches and their side of trying to teach sports from a biblical mindset with sportsmanship involved, and it really changes the way that you pursue the game, not just passionately doing it for other people, but also for yourself and to glorify God in that, which is completely different from most other schools.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Zachary Peters was barricaded inside a bedroom of his family's home. Three intruders armed with knives and brass knuckles were on the prowl. Zachary had to defend himself, so he shot and killed all three criminals with an AR-15. Police in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, believe Zachary acted in self-defense under the state Stand Your Ground law. But the grandfather of one of the criminals is furious. Leroy Schumacher tells television station KTUL his grandson did not deserve to die. Mr. Schumacher went on to say the families of the dead burglars are going to suffer for the rest of their lives. It's tragic, but those young men would still be alive today if they had not committed a crime. Mr. Schumacher said the homeowner made it an unfair fight because he had a gun. Well, sir, that's what happens when you bring a knife to a gunfight. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
There's a new Republican in charge of the House Intel Committee's Russia probe. Texas Congressman Mike Conaway, who found out Chairman Devin Nunes was going to step down when the phone rang last night.
His decision. He called me in, asked me to do it, and I said yes.
The announcement that Nunes was stepping aside came just minutes before the House Ethics Committee made an announcement of its own. Quote, the committee is aware of public allegations that Representative Devin Nunes may have made unauthorized disclosures of classified information in violation of House rules, law, regulations, or other standards of conduct. A lawyer for Nunes has already asked the Ethics Committee what evidence it has on him, but he's already narrowed down who he thinks complained. The California congressman says, quote, several left-wing activist groups have filed accusations against me with the Office of Congressional Ethics. The charges are entirely false and politically motivated and are being leveled just as the American people are beginning to learn the truth about the improper unmasking of the identities of U.S. citizens and other abuses of power.
Well, this is just one of the stories yesterday that made me furious, by the way. Sandy Rios back with you. Devin Nunes stepping aside. Are you kidding me? Being charged with unethical behavior. Are you kidding me? In fact, let me just read from a listener here. Mac wrote, First Jeff Sessions and now Devin Nunes. Why don't all the Republicans just roll over and play dead, and then the Democrats would have clear sailing on impeaching President Trump? I, for one, am fed up with this. We put President Trump in office to make a difference. Quit giving in to the Democrats' bullying. I want to see people held accountable and go to jail for the garbage that has been going on for the last 8 years. Everything from Benghazi, the IRS, the Clinton scandal, and illegal surveillance. Nobody is ever brought to justice. And so that's from Mac in Kansas, and I think he expresses what many of us are feeling. I could say so much about that. It's just so upsetting. That's all I can say. It's just so upsetting. Of course, here's an interesting little piece of information. You know, Adam Schiff went in to see the information that Devin Nunes reported. And, of course, Adam was complaining loudly, frequently, constantly about how, well, unseemly it was that Devin Nunes should go into the White House and read that information without telling him first. And that, you know, perhaps he indicated he was working with the Trump administration and they were colluding to sort of, well, maybe, you know, it looks like, I wouldn't want to say, but, you know, he might have been. And so Devin Nunes, of course, is the most slimy of, you know, he's as slimy as anyone in the House. And he is the guy who covered up in the Benghazi hearing, obstructed, kept people from testifying, made sure that justice was not done. But he's the upstanding guy. But Byron York writes a great article in the Washington Examiner. The fact that after Adam Schiff, the White House invited him to come in and, well, read the stuff yourself then, Mr. Schiff. Come on in. Congressman, you read the evidence we have against Susan Rice and others. You read it. And Adam Schiff came out, and the point that Byron makes is that he went silent. In fact, this is what Byron says. Schiff has frequently criticized Committee Chairman Devin Nunes for his handling of the document matter, but ever since Schiff got a chance to see the documents last Friday, he has had zero to say about what's in them. All right, so that's just a little sidebar. And as we were having a commercial break, George Grassley of Conservative HQ has written an article about the Syrian invasion, and it's titled Obama Advisors Suckering Trump Further into Syrian Quagmire. And I just had a chance to read a little bit of it, but I think it probably expresses a lot of what I'm trying to say, maybe a lot better than what I said it to you a few minutes ago. We'll put this on our Facebook page, and you can read it, and it will help you to kind of, you know, helps to read the words and kind of absorb the ideas. And it's a trustworthy source, and I think it will be very beneficial to you. All right. I got to thank you before I open the phone lines, and I'm going to. 888-589-8840. I want to thank you for your generosity in Share-a-thon. Just thank you so much. We made about what we made last year, which is good. I mean, it was a great goal, and we didn't quite make this year's goal, but we made last year's goal. And so if you didn't have a chance to give, there's still time. And let me just say that the phone number is 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can go to AFR.net, AFR.net, and still make your best pledge. And one other thing, Wall Street Journal is reporting that the CEO of Target, remember that we've had this boycott of Target for the last year because they were opening up their bathroom, still are. To all genders, and they're changing facilities. And they were very proud of it, and they've been very stubborn. They've refused to admit that their stock value has gone down now by something like 35%. They've refused to admit that their foot traffic in the stores is down. But now at least an admission. CEO Brian Cornell says that he regrets his company's policy announcement welcoming men to use women's restrooms and dressing rooms. Now, a caution. He didn't say he was sorry about the policy. He just said he regretted the way they rolled it out and they made it public. He said they should have done it quietly. But that's a first admission from Target that maybe it's not going so well. And so keep up the good work. We need you to come sign with us to continue to boycott Target. We are having an effect. And the thing of it is, one company affects other companies. And so let's keep the clamps down until they stop and change their policy. We can do something. You always wonder what you can do. This is something you can do. Go to AFR.net and sign up for that Target boycott. All right, so there you go. That's the quick version of what's going on today. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. 8840. Let's start with our friend Shirley down in Tennessee. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning. It's so good to be on with you, and I want to thank you for taking my call. I was very saddened to hear about the children and the women and everyone being gassed at the hospital. But at the same time, I knew there had to be something behind it. And so I'm so thankful that I've heard your show this morning. And I want to tell you, I've been doing an extensive study on Daniel and Revelation these most recent months. And I truly have a theory. I do not believe, and this is based on the word of God in Daniel's statue. You know, his legs were made of iron, which was the time of Christ, where Rome was ruling. And the toes and the feet is iron and clay, but they never come together. So I truly believe that's telling us the Muslims will never rule. As a matter of fact, back in the 1400s, when they were attacking Ferdinand and Isabella, the Pope and the Catholic Church created the Crusades to get rid of them because they would not hand over Jerusalem, which they had taken. So we know that they will never rule. I think they're being used once again to create havoc and chaos. And then once people like in Venezuela turn back and ask Rome for help, then the Pope will step in and he has said, from what I understand, that he wants to be president of the world. So I'm just saying, I do not see ever the Muslims taking rulership. I believe it's actually the end times and the Antichrist and all that's going to be from Rome. And we may be looking at them in the Pope. That's just my theory.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And have a blessed day.
All right, Shirley. Thanks. Very interesting. Well, of course, we don't know how these things will unfold. And countless hours and days and months and years have been spent, you know, studying scripture. And it's a great, exciting pursuit to try to figure out what's going to happen. I think one point I would make from what Shirley said, I think she's probably right that the Muslims will never rule. I think she's probably right about that. I think that this whole doctrine of Sharia is so wicked and evil, and I think it's interesting that their colors are black and that they're at least for the Muslim Brotherhood, the saying is we love death more than they love life. You know, what kind of God inspires that kind of motto? Well, it's only the God of darkness. It's Satan himself, and I have to say, what we see with Satan as he uses people and people groups, is that he uses people individually or groups to bring destruction, and then he turns that destruction on them. That's one thing you can say for sure, and it's like it's so wicked. It is just so wicked. I think we can't even imagine the depths of the wickedness of the enemy, with a capital E, in these battles that we're facing. But we have a righteous God, and he will prevail. As sometimes I get into this discussion about all the bad news that I deliver, which is constant and daily. But I am not in despair, and I'm not depressed, because I know God. I know the one true God, the God of justice and light and mercy and judgment. And so he will prevail. I'm not worried about that. It's just going to be a bumpy ride on the way. All right, let's go to John in Virginia. Good morning, John. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Hey, thanks. I'm walking my dogs. It's sunny and windy here in Virginia. So I was very disappointed and saddened to hear about yesterday. I heard about it late. But, you know, this has happened before. Gas, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting the term. Gas has been used on Syrians before and blamed on Assad, and it was found that it was not Assad that gassed the people. This has happened once before during the Obama administration, and it seems to be so clear that this is not Assad who attacked these people. It's not the way he works. He's a Christian. I mean, I don't know how great of a Christian he is.
Yeah, John. Well, hang on a second. John, let me correct a few things. I mean, yes, in fact, I mentioned that in my meandering monologue a few minutes ago, that yes, under the Obama administration, there was a use of gas, and it was there were a lot of pictures that were shown, and they blamed it on Assad, and then there was a lot of people that I knew said that they did not believe it was Assad. Now, this time, it looks as though they have tracked the plane, the origin of it and where it struck, and it looks like it is Assad. So I think it probably, okay, At this point, it looks likely that it is Assad who did this. He attacked a hospital used by Al-Qaeda, which is his enemy in that country. I don't think you can say that Assad is Christian. He's a secular Islamist. He's a secular Muslim. So, is
okay.
Okay?
So I stand correct about this secular Muslim or whatever, secular Islamist. But I'm not, you know, I don't see any proof yet that this is Assad. See, here's what's wrong with the story. They've already used gas to try to false flag Assad. And who in their right mind would then go use the same thing that they accused him of doing and use it again wrongfully? You know, if anybody would just look up the history of false flag terror in world wars and in triggering wars, you'd have to be suspicious on 100% or 99% at an act like this. I think I'm totally sad to see what's happened to Trump. I'm a big Trump supporter, and they seem to have nullified Trump very highly. I think that this Trump movement might be over.
No, I don't, John, I'm not there yet. In spite of what I say, I just so you know, I'm not there yet. I know for a fact that there are people in there slugging it away that have not given up. And so, as I said yesterday, and we'll say again today, or maybe I didn't say this on my show. I was on Tim's show yesterday. We must pray. I ask for people to just intercede right now for what's going on in the White House, because there are internecine battles. I've heard it described as the Game of Thrones. And so there are battles going on for influence on the president. And I think that we just have to pray. There's some things we certainly cannot control. And right now, the good guys need our prayer. And so, but I have not given up yet. I'm not ready. I'm not declaring their defeat by any means. And I also think that this, as of this morning at 8:37 Eastern Standard Time, I'm not ready to declare that this attack in Syria is the end of the world for Donald Trump's foreign policy. But I am concerned that it's coming from advisors that I don't trust. So that's what makes me suspicious, and I think we have good reason to be. And this is the kind of thing maybe the average citizen doesn't need to know it because it creates concern, but I guess I'm in the business of disclosing to you what I know. And I just think we're in a precarious situation, and we need to pray. Hey, John, thanks. And be careful walking your dog there. Let's go to Charles in West Virginia. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, Miss Sandy.
Good morning.
I'm sitting here in the kitchen fixing breakfast, watching my robins get snowed on.
Oh, no. That's not good. Now, that's a tragedy.
Yeah, we've got a big snowstorm here in Lewisburg.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and the robins don't know what to do. But, Sandy, I've been a long-time listener, and I've called in the AFR several times, but not to your show. I just want to thank you for giving me a perspective on the last 24 hours that I'd never, ever thought of. And that's why I listen to you, because your perspective is always enlightening. And I just want to thank you for that, and keep it up, and God bless you and your ministry, and God bless AFR, and thank you so much for all you do for us every day.
Oh, Charles, thanks. Okay, so your assignment when you hang up is to pray for your country and your president, okay? That's your assignment.
My wife and I pray for our president every day.
Yeah, well, thank you, Charles, and I appreciate your kind comments. All right, got to take a break. And when we come back, it's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We can talk about any of these things, Devin Nunes, the filibuster, the Syrian attack, and whatever is on your mind. Let's talk. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Thank you. Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. You know, the charitable gift annuity concept is more important today than probably ever. It is something that you have heard me talk about for many, many years. And right now, for now, the tax code is still allowing charitable organizations to establish a charitable gift annuity so that you can be guaranteed permanent income for the rest of your life. Don't waste any time. So many of you have IRAs, 401k money. Peel off a piece of that. Establish your charitable gift annuity so that you have a portion of permanent income that you know is never going to change for the rest of your life. Would you do it today? Call AFA Foundation, 800-326-4543. Extension 345. That's 800-326-4543. Extension 345.
On behalf of our whole team here at American Family Radio, I just want to say thank you as president of this ministry for supporting us during our Share-a-thon.
If you wanted to call in during Share-a-thon, but for some reason you weren't able to, you can still donate at 877-616-2396. Or give online at AFR.net.
Without support of our listeners, we wouldn't be able to stay on the air.
American Family Radio, boldly standing for truth for your family.
Thank you again.
The financial world certainly can be intimidating, and our livelihood, of course, depends upon it, but God is in control of all things. Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. I take your calls every day and give you answers from a biblical perspective and break down the day's financial numbers to help keep you informed. Financial Issues, every weekday morning at 8 o'clock Central Time and Saturday mornings, 10 o'clock Central Time on American Family Radio.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. Remember this public service announcement? This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. Well, pornography is finally being seen for the strong drug and destroyer that it is. When looking at the brain scan of a normal brain compared to brain scans of heroin and pornography users, the porn-addicted brain has the greatest deterioration in brain activity. Recognizing that pornography can impact brain development, increase risky sexual behavior, and lead to sexual addiction, the states of Utah, Virginia, and South Dakota have voted overwhelmingly to declare pornography a public health crisis. Regular use rewires the brain, and the chains of pornography addiction are forged strong, but there is one who saves and heals. He can break the chains of any addiction and free from any bondage. He is the only begotten Son of God. His name is Jesus. This is a Decency Minute. Find us at AmericanDecency.org. I'm Bill Johnson.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Out of the shadow world of U.S. intelligence has just emerged a familiar face, Susan Rice, Barack Obama's national security advisor. Ms. Rice is notorious for her willingness to subordinate truth-telling to bare-knuckled partisanship. For example, in the wake of the premeditated and murderous jihadist attack in Benghazi, she knowingly repeated 5 times the lie that it was actually a demonstration gone bad, sparked by an offensive internet video. Now Susan Rice has been caught lying about her knowledge of how the identities of Trump officials subjected to what may have been improper U.S. intelligence monitoring were, in spook speak, unmasked. It turns out that she asked for that step to be taken, which in turn resulted in the information being shared widely inside government and predictably leaked. So, what did President Obama know, and when did he know it? This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. Just also in my inbox, an article out of PJ Media. Lawmakers say intelligence agencies are stonewalling investigations into surveillance leaks. Fox News is reporting that intelligence agencies are stonewalling congressional investigations into the Obama administration's surveillance of the Trump campaign and subsequent leaking of classified information. Our requests are simply not being answered, House Intelligence Committee source told Fox News. The agencies are not really helping at all, and there is truly a massive web for us to try and wade through. Okay, so just saying. So we're going to post that on Facebook, and you can read the entire thing, and we're going to get mad together and do something about it, right? All right, let me go back to the phones. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let me go to Let me go to Bill in North Carolina. Bill is retired military, retired Army. Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, Sandy. I listen to you every day. Let me tell you, you're a fantastic person. You're great. And, you know, I get the true news from you, okay?
Thank you.
I'm going to try to shorten this up because I know you got other people. Like I said, I'm retired Army. I know a little bit about, types of gases and whatnots and all, because I've kind of experienced some of it, okay? Warfare gas. What I saw in those videos does not look like sarin gas.
Really?
It looks more like chlorine gas.
Well, what would that mean?
I think so.
Why would they say sarin?
Well, that's a little harder to get hold of than it is chlorine gas. Chlorine gas is pretty easy to make. And if I remember, in 2014, they hauled all this sarin gas out. They put it on a United Nations ship. I think it's a Dutch ship. They hauled every bit of it. He turned it over.
That's right. I'd forgotten about that. Supposedly, yes. That's right.
Right. And, well, no, they had inspectors in there, and they pulled it out. No, it's not saying somebody else brought some more in. I don't know. You know, I have no idea. But what I want to say here is the reason I'm thinking it's chlorine gas, too, is because, well, they weren't wearing protective clothing when they were spraying them down, all that good stuff, you know. And it just, you've got to really be in some serious hazmat suits with sarin gas. But anyway, what I'm saying, there was a Kurds unit around Aleppo, and they took over. They overran a Kurd unit. You know, they overran a ISIS and Al Qaeda position, and they found canisters there of chlorine gas. They actually found quite a few canisters. They showed them. It showed the canisters. I'm just saying that the way that looks to me is that was set up. That was staged in there, and you know as well as I do, ISIS, Al Qaeda, they don't care about children. They don't bother them to kill kids at all. Like I said, they'll strap suicide bombs on them, assume I've killed people. They could care less.
Well, they also, you know, in Israel, you know, when they do these airstrikes, they will send civilians in to be human shields in these buildings. When they know that Israel has already warned them that they're doing airstrikes, it's unfathomable to us the way they don't value human life. We just can't comprehend it. Well, Bill, this is very interesting. Who knows? Today we'll get more information. I'll have more information, and maybe by Monday we can sort through this thing better. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but in these dangerous times, we have to be smart and wise, and we can't take things at face value, and we have to learn who we can trust, and so we're trying to figure that out right now. Hey, listen, I appreciate your service, and I appreciate your insights. Thank you.
All right, let me ask you one more thing before you go.
Okay.
Am I still there?
Yeah, you're still here.
What did Assad have? What was it? Is it his advantage to bomb that hospital when he's winning the war? Why would he bomb it? It doesn't make sense.
Well, that's what I was saying too. I don't why the timing on this when Donald Trump was backing off on, you know, the Assad must go. It was not his policy. So suddenly, you know, he's finally probably safe from the Americans, at least unless he. So why would he do this now? I'm with you. I just don't. It does not make any kind of sense. Now we could be wrong. I heard a couple of people commenting. Who I don't know how. I mean, I don't know how trustworthy and reliable they are, but we know for a fact, they said, that the plane came from Bashar al-Assad, and that we tracked it, and it delivered this allegedly sarin gas to this spot. We know it was Bashar al-Assad. So that's why I thought, huh. But I know because of all the background that you just described, and because of the skillful way in which the Sharia adherent Al-Qaeda Muslims use this stuff against their own people in strategic ways. My flags are up too, Bill. They really are. So, hey, listen, thanks a lot again, and thanks for your service. Let's go to Michigan and talk to Dana. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning. Thank you for all that you do for us and all the truth that you bring us. Like everyone else says, we value your show. But I'm going to take it to a lighter note instead of all.
Okay, good.
About the health insurance reform, just some insight into some of the things. If you go back to the 109th Congress under a Republican president, Republican-controlled Congress, they knew then that the health insurance, health care insurance reform needed to be done, but they just kept talking, doing nothing. And some of those people were Louie Gohmert, Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, John McCain, Lindsey Graham, all the people you hear in all these news outlets today saying the same things, talking, but never getting anything done. What they did was usher in the Democrat control back then, allowing them to push forward without any problems the whole Affordable Health Care Act. And now we see them doing the same thing after we gave them another opportunity to lead in this. And, you know, even Mike Pence was on the 109th Congress. And here we are in the 115th Congress with some of the same people. I think I counted up about 25 at least of the same. And
Dana,
they're doing the same thing.
Dana, where are you getting your information? I'm just curious.
You know, I just Googled the members that were in Congress back in the 109th.
Yeah, well, why would you do that unless somebody led you to? Why would you choose the 109th Congress? And there must be some source for
that. Well, because that was when they were in control of everything back then. Mm-hmm. And
so you're
just
saying,
remembering from the past that's they were dealing with all these things and talking about all these things back then. And really, what we needed to reform was just the health care insurance, not health care, which is what we have now, is they've reformed our whole health care system through the Democrats. And I just believe that if the Republicans continue to sit on their hands, we're going to usher in the Democrat control again,
mm-hmm.
because the voters just won't tolerate it. And
Dana, am I understanding you correctly? Are you saying that you think that the Republicans that stalled this Ryan plan I'm unclear a little bit on your position on this. In general, of course, we want them to fix health care. We all
right.
want that.
And we want a good plan. But I think that it's the same, some of the same players are doing the same thing. They're going out there constantly on news outlets and doing the same thing they did back then, talk with no action. And
I agree with you, but I certainly wouldn't put Louie Gohmert on that list. And I'm not sure who else. Mitch McConnell would be one I'd place on the list. I'd place
right.
Paul Ryan
Lindsey
on the
Graham,
list.
Lindsey Graham, you know.
Yeah, yeah, they got elected. They got
but
elected.
Louie Gohmert was there. And
Louie Gohmert
was
not. Louie has been slugging away, I could tell you personally, trying to do this, trying to fix health care for years. And he has made good on his promises. He's laid it all on the line. So that I know that's not the Dana. He's not, trust me. He's done everything he can. I can't say so much for the others you mentioned. I didn't catch quite all of them. But that's why I was wondering where you were getting your information.
Yeah.
So
I just looked up how many were the same and how long this has been going on and why we are where we are is because the Republicans didn't do anything back all those years ago.
Well,
and
isn't that the case? That's the way it is with everything. And you could say that Congress has, both sides have just
exactly.
delayed, whether it's the national debt or health care or Social Security reform or Medicare reform, you know, you name it. This is what
yep.
they do. But not
yep.
all of them. Some of them are champions. And I think Louie Gohmert's one of them. That's why I have to argue with you on that one a little bit.
I do think that we have got to, if we don't start showing some sort of compromise, the Democrats are going to gain control again. And then what?
Okay,
that will
so you
lead
are
to,
you actually are okay. That see, you do have a point of view. So you're getting your okay. You really do. You are upset. I think that they obstructed. Listen, they're working it out right now, Dana. They're trying to get
yes,
a better
and,
bill,
you know,
and I think they're going to come up with a better one. We don't want socialized medicine, do we?
No.
Okay.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
But
okay.
I do want a good system, and I think that they have to. You know, I'm with you on they need to stay working through this break. I mean, if they're that close, as they say they are, they really need to stay working
yeah.
and quit taking all these vacations.
Yeah.
Because if not, I mean, the Democrats are going to get back in control, and they're going to have the opportunity to maybe place Supreme Court justices as well if some of these people don't retire that are talking about retiring soon.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right, Dana, thanks a lot. And speaking of that, there's like 120 different judicial seats that are up right now. And because the filibuster is no more, if the Republicans can get themselves together, they could get through some great nominees. You know, Barack Obama appointed something like 30% of the judiciary when he was, this is the reason the judiciary is in such sad shape. He appointed leftists because Harry Reid was the original person who did away with the filibuster rule. And so they got in some really bad judges, and we are suffering from that. So anyway, all right, let's go to Dale in Kentucky. Good morning, Dale. Good morning, Dale.
Oh, okay. I thought he misunderstood my name. It's Bill.
Oh, I must have. Hello, Bill. It says Dale.
Okay, I say Dale. Well, I'm in Kentucky, but I am Bill.
Okay.
And I apologize for the misunderstanding there.
That's okay.
Okay, first off, I listen to probably 90% of my media and my information comes from AFR, and we really, really enjoy it. And the second main major point is they need to broadcast you at another time in the evening so we can get you also, like we do Brian Fisher and others, you know, maybe at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't care, but I hate missing you in the morning. Okay, and to get to my main point here is you're the only person other than, I think, McFarland on Exploring the Word has ever put it, the situation of the Muslim in the context that I think it should be. A person who lives by their values or their doctrine is not radicalized. I'm a Christian, so I live by Christian values. Now, if I was living like the world, I would be being radicalized like the world. So a Muslim who is a terrorist and who wants to kill people and overthrow the world, he's not radicalized. It's the Muslim who lives by the American values and who lives by Christian values, he's the radicalized.
Yeah, that's true. No, you're absolutely true, Dale. And go ahead, one last thing, and then I got to run.
Okay, I just appreciate that. It's only twice in all the time I listen to y'all that have really put it, the terrorists are not radicalized. The ones who are living like Americans or like Christian values, they're the radicalized because they're doing contrary to what their religion and their doctrine indicates.
Very well said, Dale. Very well said. Thank you so much. Let's go to Marty in Iowa. Marty, you have the last word this morning. Good morning.
Thank you very much, Sandy. My main thing was two words was Christian patriotism, and that is what we're called in America. America was founded on that. And if we looked at the eternal perspective, we are about just a little over a week out from worshiping our great God and Savior who has died for the sins of the world. And yes, he calls us to love our enemies and to do good to those who persecute us. And we can look at the American, the Democratic Party. We're called to pray for these people like the Nancy Pelosi's, the Susan Rice's. They, the majority of the Democratic Party, they are under liberalism. And liberalism is a dead, dead philosophy. It's a religion that they have trusted in. And Jesus Christ, we have eternal glory. And Sandy, I could be dead today in a car accident. But if you're standing on the righteousness and the truth of Jesus Christ, we cannot lose. We are the winners for eternity, and our job is to lift up these people who do not have faith. And
I'm with you. I'm with you. You know what? You hear the music. I have to say goodbye to you, and I know you weren't quite finished. I'm sorry. And you're right. It's Easter. It's the resurrection. I can't wait myself to celebrate that. I'm so looking forward to it for so many reasons. Let's be on our knees in prayer and honor God even in the midst of these disagreements. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.